We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hi, welcome to today's Battleground Podcast. Today is an historic day. Today is the day the whole Russian collusion narrative unravels. A million pages of documents turned over in response to Mueller subpoenas and FBI subpoenas by Donald J. Trump. The search, the never-ending search for the collusion. All of the correspondents, the reporters from New York Times, from Washington Post, from CNN, who went on camera and told you point blank, Trump was under Putin's control. Trump was an agent of Russia. Trump was doing Russia's bidding. And they looked so hard to find that Russian. A million documents. They couldn't find a single payment from Russia or anyone associated with Russia. They couldn't find a Russian agent. They couldn't find a Russian contact. In fact, that was the key finding of the Mueller report. No collusion with Russia. It was so laughable that they found that when Donald Trump wanted to build a Trump Tower in Russia, he didn't know who to call, so he called the Russian press PR line. That's who our newsroom would call if we wanted a comment from a Russian official. No collusion, no check, no Russian contacts. Nada. Until now. We got him. Dead to rights, we found a Russian spy. Problem is, the Russian spy was colluding with the FBI, the Democrat National Committee, Hillary Clinton's campaign, and the Department of Justice. Oh, and Christopher Steele, too. We found the Russian spy. This is a stunning day. The day in which we learn that the FBI colluded with an agent of the Kremlin, a suspected Russian agent who they had investigated for 2 years, folks. 2 years, the FBI investigated this guy they believed to be a Russian spy and called him, quote, a threat to national security, unquote. Guess how they used him? We now know that he was the chief source for the Steele dossier. The Steele dossier, the FBI would go on to use as the sole source to get the FISA warrants to spy on the Trump campaign. The sole source to justify the digging into Trump's entire life, the subpoenas, more than a million documents turned over. The sole source of the accusations of Russian collusion was himself a Russian spy. A spy well known to the FBI. They believed he was a Russian spy. Spent 2 years interviewing him. Then hid the fact that he was the source. Used and paid by the Democrats. Folks, process this for a minute, okay? Hillary Clinton's campaign is paying Christopher Steele to write the Steele dossier, and he is paying an actual Russian spy to do it. The only interference in the 2016 election by Russians happened via the FBI, the Democrat National Committee, and Hillary's campaign. And until this very day, until Thursday, September 24th, the FBI hid that from the public. Kimberly Strassel, ace reporter at The Wall Street Journal, puts it the best in this string of tweets today. But here's the real kicker. Per these documents out from Lindsey Graham, the FBI knew about this prior CI investigation into the Russian source in December of 2016. It knew it was relying on information from a suspected Russian spy. The same FBI said to be concerned about Russian interference in election was using information from a suspected Russian spy that they had investigated for 2 years to probe a presidential campaign. The same FBI claiming Carter Page was a Russian agent was making that case based on info from a suspected Russian agent that, again, they described as a national security threat. It all makes sense. This week, by the way, it makes sense when we see now that the analyst from the CIA, who initially looked at the data and found they believe that Russia wanted Hillary to win, a whole bunch out on it this week, but that John Brennan, then head of the CIA, buried their analysis and said, no, Russia wanted Trump to win. No, it all fits. It all fits. This Russian spy of the FBI's had connections to the Kremlin and the Russian embassy and to Russian intel the whole time. They did what they accused Trump of. It's stunning. I mean, there are literally no words. And I wonder if the American people, when they go to the polls to vote, will have any idea what just happened here and what we just know. This is all broken per Catherine Herridge at CBS. Surprisingly, some of this is actually being reported by like Newsweek and Yahoo News. But that is the huge, big part of this whole thing that has just broken. So is this. This is stunning. You know, I was wondering, I know the FBI, we know the FBI perjured themselves before the FISA court. That's a felony. We know they lied to the court. Felony. Perjury. We know the DOJ did the same. And I always wondered, when they were setting Trump up, when they were framing him, cooking up evidence against him, that kind of thing, how do you sit around the FBI and do that? Like, I mean, on a personal level, right? Are they open with each other about the crime they're committing at the time? Hey, we got to go frame Trump. Or is it more wink, wink, nod, nod, like everybody knows their role? I was wondering, like, how would you do that? How do they talk to each other? We know now. It's as bad as we thought. It's every bit as bad as we thought. They're comfortable with it. They even put it in writing. They text it to each other about framing Trump. And we've got those text messages now. They just came out. And they're stunning. The absolute cavalier disregard for any sort of laws, consequences, all of it by the FBI agents. They talk to each other like criminals in the middle of a bank robbery. Here's an example of the texts that have just come out. The most stunning of these to me is one agent's text. The names are redacted, so we don't know which agent. One agent's text about a Trump tweet. One agent in a text admits, quote, Trump was right when he tweeted that the FBI was delaying his briefings as incoming president so they could cook up evidence against him. So we literally have FBI agents texting each other back and forth about cooking up evidence on Trump. Totally unafraid. This is how lawless this rogue agency have got. This is a runaway agency. This is not an agency that's tethered to the U.S. government anymore by anything other than the tax payments it gets to keep running. It has gone rogue. It is full on a handle and instrument of the Democrat Party for political persecution. Now it makes so much sense, y'all, what A.G. Barr said last week and why he said it. I wondered why he said this, and now I get it. It was one of the most terrifying things I've ever heard. A.G. Barr, Bill Barr, admitting essentially he didn't have effective control over the DOJ, had never managed to take control of the agency. He took control in name only. And he said the junior members are setting the agenda, i.e. he can't control them. But then he said something even more terrifying. He said that prosecutors inside the DOJ, too many prosecutors, he said, were angling to score political points or career advancement by pursuing high-profile political figures without regard to evidence and law. What he's describing here about the Department of Justice, which works hand-in-hand with the FBI is the Department of Justice's police force. That's their purpose. So he's basically saying they're pursuing political figures. This is persecution. It's political persecution with no evidence. And without regard to any laws, they're utterly untethered from the legal system. They are using these agencies, the Department of Justice and the FBI, for political persecution. And now we have it in a text. We were delaying our briefings to the incoming president, this FBI agent texts, so we could cook up evidence against him. Bill Barr's quote from last week, quote, I'd like to be able to say that we don't see headhunting in the Department of Justice, he said, but that would not be truthful. I see it every day. He was preparing us for these tweets, these texts that have come out from the FBI. Another explosive new text message from the FBI. These are agents talking to each other. Show agents believe the investigation was being run by FBI officials who were in the tank for Hillary Clinton. This is Molly Hemingway's article. Quote, doing all this election research, I think some of these guys want a Clinton presidency, one agent wrote on August 11th, shortly after the FBI opened the Crossfire Hurricane investigation into Trump. Think about this. These people inside the FBI actually use a phrase like that. Doing all this election research? They think their job is election research? They mean election meddling. Now, keep in mind, by this point, they already knew their only source was a Russian spy, potential Russian spy, believed to be Russian spy they had surveilled for 2 years, who they called a threat to national security, and they used that source material provided by the Democrats. So here we are. We have torn Trump apart for 3.5 years. We have requested and subpoenaed over 1 million pages of documents looking for collusion, any Russian agent anywhere. And the whole time, it was the Democrats colluding with the Russians, the Democrats playing Christopher Steele to get this dirt from this known Russian agent to use against Trump. And they never launched a collusion investigation against the Democrats who've handed them the very document. They know for a fact when they launch Crossfire Hurricane that they have no case against Trump, that there has been collusion, that it was between the Democrats and the Russian spy who they themselves had investigated. Yet they never once include the Clinton campaign in the collusion investigation. They lied to the public for 3.5 years. This is political persecution. This is a terrifying moment in American history. If this is allowed to go unpunished, those three letters, FBI, in that yellow font, will terrify future generations of America in much the same way words like Stasi once did. I'm not exaggerating here, folks. I'm not trying to be dramatic. This is a coup. It's in writing. It's indisputable.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders, former press secretary for Donald Trump, who dealt with so much of this, wrote this on Twitter. So there was collusion with Russia to interfere in our democracy after all, between the Obama administration and a suspected Russian spy to take down President Donald Trump. 3.5 years of it. Then this comes out. It's a huge sign of the times with the FBI. Keep in mind, the FBI director has denied that Antifa is organized or has a leadership structure. He's refused, essentially, to investigate that. He says it's a movement. So what happens then? How do you take down the Antifa fundraising and management structure? You can't trust or involve the FBI. Listen to this article that's just come out from The Nation. The Nation is a left-wing publication. They are outraged today because they have found that Bill Barr has bypassed the FBI completely and is using the Department of Homeland Security to surveil Antifa telephones. They set up dummy phones and then they can collect all the messages, phone calls, stuff like that. They're trying to trace the leadership and the funding. So The Nation gets wind of this and finds out that they're in Portland trying to figure out who funds them. And they freak They believe only the FBI should be used to do this because we now look, the FBI took hammers to Hillary Clinton's laptops and other information when they still contained emails under subpoena by Congress. They destroyed evidence. This is what the FBI does. You can't trust the FBI to go after Antifa. If they find evidence of connection between Antifa and the Democrat Party or Antifa and the funders of the Democrat Party, the FBI will destroy it. That is their history. So the nation gets this. They all get this. We all know what's going on here. They freak out because what Bill Barr has done is use the U.S. Marshals Service to dispatch them as a street level personnel to spy and clone these phones so they can figure out who Antifa's related to, who where the money comes from, who are their political allies. We know who they are. Come on. And they went around the FBI. What does that tell you? Well, it's a sign of what I've been telling you for a long time. There are only a small handful of law enforcement agencies left in America that answer to the American governing political structure, to the president, to whoever's in office, to Congress. And if you notice, this is why there has never been an FBI Antifa protest. When Antifa list agencies they hate, they want to disband ICE, they want to defund the police, they want to get rid of the Border Patrol, they never mention the FBI. Because the FBI is essentially on their side, politically speaking. And so this is what you saw in Portland when the protesters were trying to burn down federal buildings and they needed to be protected. Who did Trump have to send in? Who went in? It was weird. Border Patrol, ICE, Department of Homeland Security agencies. Because they're the only ones left who still nominally, at least, answer to the office holder of the presidency. Answer to the American government and not to the Democrat Party. Do you see the significance of that? Now, what if you could consolidate this and use it as your own personal police force? Essentially, how the Democrat Party is using the FBI and the Department of Injustice right now, the parts that Bill Barr does not control. What if you could use it as your own political persecution squad? Did you see what Biden proposed this week? He says he's going to elevate the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division into the White House. He's going to move them directly out of the Department of Justice and into the White House. Can you say secret police? I'm not saying it's that bad yet, but it will be. Who is the police force of the Department of Justice? That'd be the FBI, right? Okay, imagine where you live. There's a mayor and he likes to go after his political enemies, right? Imagine if he moves the county prosecutor's office into the mayor's office. And then they begin to headhunt, as Bill Barr described. They begin to headhunt. They begin to file charges and maybe frivolous cases against political enemies. And they're operating out of the White House? Talk about using the security apparatus of this country, the judicial and criminal apparatus of this country, to persecute. You're going to erase the line between the Department of Justice and the White House, as thin as it already is with Democrats? Yeah. What's he going to move the FBI in next? Might as well. They do the work of the Criminal Rights Division. So you understand the Criminal Rights Division, those are the people that go after these police officers and terrorize them in these shootings. When, you know, before we have all the facts and it looks like there's been racism and they turn their lives upside down. So this is exactly the division that if you want to go after your political enemies, you would move into the White House. Erasing the line. Can you imagine? I mean, the media and the left keep telling us that Trump has co-opted the Department of Justice. I don't even think he's ever taken control of it fully. But you want to talk about co-opting the Department of Justice? You're moving a division of the Department of Justice into the White House? Whoa. I want to point something else out to you, too. It's very subtle. I've been laying this out bit by bit for you this week on the podcast. We talked about how without your First Amendment right to assemble, to plan protests, that sort of thing, you really can't combat them, and how that is being taken away by social media. And we use the example of allowing the groups that went to Lindsey Graham's house and the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf's house to organize openly on Facebook, right? But yet people who wanted to protest the shutdowns had their organizing pages yanked. This is going to become a problem. We've just seen the next step on Twitter. Do you remember the first tweet of Trump's that Twitter ever censored? I'll read it to you. There will never be an autonomous zone in Washington, D.C. as long as I'm your president. If they try, they will be met with serious force. Okay, that was considered such a horror. The idea of law enforcement using force to reclaim sovereign land that belongs to other people, that it had to be covered up on Twitter. And the Twitter safety team identified it as abusive behavior and said it violated their policy against abusive behavior. Okay, that was the first Trump tweet ever censored. Fast forward to today. What did Twitter just do? The slogan, Louisville will burn. Louisville will burn tonight. Started, as best we can tell, with Lee G News. He's a black vlogger. Spread all over Twitter. They didn't take it down. So burning Louisville, cool. It's good. It's all right. Police actually enforcing the law against those burning Louisville? Nope. Can't discuss that. Can't discuss legitimate law enforcement functions if you're Trump. Do you see what's going on here? So Breitbart goes to Twitter and goes, hey, does this not violate your Twitter rules? I mean, look, you shut the president down for simply saying the police would not allow an autonomous zone in D.C. Twitter said it didn't violate their rules. They left it up. So you can openly call for Louisville, Kentucky to burn on Twitter. It's good. It's cool. It's fine. You can foment all the violence you want. But if you are the president of the United States and you talk about lawfully putting it down, you're censored. See how this works? See what they're doing? It's kind of scary, huh? And now put it all together from this week. Now they can organize on Twitter. They can organize on Facebook. They can plan to go to people's house and houses like Lindsey Graham's and terrorize them in the middle of the night and thuggishly intimidate them. But you can't. Not that we would do that. But you can't. You can't even plan a protest against the lockdown, the coronavirus lockdown in your state. Remember, Facebook was coordinating with local, you know, with governors and mayors to find out who the groups were planning them so they could shut their pages down. The London Daily Mail reported that. Do you see what's happening here, folks? The other side will be at a tremendous advantage if they can tweet their news, Facebook their news, organize, talk to each other, and plan to show up in public. By the way, all of those I just mentioned are First Amendment functions. The right to gather, the right to assemble, the right to speak. And they're being taken away. And the elites have outsourced that to the social media giants, to Silicon Valley. The destruction of any meaningful First Amendment for us. All right. Meanwhile, Joe Biden seems to have taken the position that campaigning is simply beneath him. Yep. Did you see this? On Thursday, they put a lid on him at 9:30 a.m. in the morning, and he didn't do the rest of the day. Now, here's the weird thing. They put a lid on Kamala, too, and announced she wouldn't be out as well. Apparently, Joe is going to stay in the basement until the debate on Tuesday. They're sending Jill Biden out instead. Now, that's weird that they're not sending Kamala either. What does that mean? Well, here's the thing. And my producer, Chris Evans, who's pretty brilliant sometimes listening to all this stuff, said, listen, think about this, he said. They have a cavalier disregard for campaigning. And he said, remember the Democrat primary when, you know, in the beginning, you know, Joe's numbers were terrible. 3 or 4 people drop out. He becomes a punchline in the media. He never drops out. It's like he always knew, Chris said. He never drops out. And I can remember playing an audio clip where the media was making fun of him. I mean, his election, his campaign was toast. And yet he hangs on like he always knew. And Chris says, it was the same kind of nonchalance we see now from Biden. Campaigning is simply beneath him. He doesn't go out and rub shoulders with the people. He doesn't go out and socially distance. He doesn't go out and speak to the people. He doesn't even take questions from most of the media, never mind the people, unless it's pre-scripted. It's like they never thought they had to campaign. Again, like it's beneath them. Because maybe their plan never really involved winning a campaign. I'll leave you with that thought. Meanwhile, watch this. We now know that Hunter Biden took at least $3.5 million from a woman who had connections to Vladimir Putin. We know that. And we know that some of that money was put back into Ukrainian and Russian human trafficking operations. We don't know how or why, but that appears to violate the law on a couple of levels. Watch this. This will be a key tell right here. So you've had Jim Jordan now, Representative Jim Jordan, Republican for Congress, and Senator Rand Paul come out and demand an FBI investigation and say they are forwarding the findings of the Senate committee about Hunter Biden to the FBI and the DOJ for investigation. Watch this. There won't be one. They're royalty, folks. They don't even have to campaign. It's beneath them. Ha! Not going to be an FBI investigation. Why would there? Here's Jim Jordan.
Two respected senators, Senator Grassley, Senator Johnson, issuing a report that has a number of alarming findings in it. All we're saying is, Mr. Ray, check it out. Look into this. If this was anyone else, if this is any of the President Trump's children, or frankly, anybody in the country, you know, it would be front page. There would be this demand from the press to check this out, to look into this. That's what Rand is asking. Senator Paul's asking for. That's what we're asking for. Let's just check it out and get the answers for the American people.
Now, remember Joe Biden's Axios interview when he said, I don't know what Hunter does. I have no idea. Oh, but I do know it wasn't illegal. Well, actually, that Senate report now has found evidence of criminality. So we'll see if they check it out. Watch this. The FBI will ignore it. That's what they do. They ignore criminality by Democrats. But what's interesting about what Joe said here, I'll play it for you. Let me tell you what's significant about this clip. Joe saying, well, there's no criminality anyway. So there's no criminality on Trump's point either. In fact, we were told over and over again by the media and the Department of Justice, collusion, remember, collusion with Russia, the reason they investigated Trump, collusion is not a crime. There's no federal statute against it. It's unseemly. Might cost you an election if you got caught doing it. But even if they'd found collusion on Trump's part, it's not criminal. So this is clear collusion on Hunter's part. Absolutely indisputable. Gets a check from a known associate of Putin's. So where's the investigation? The standard for Trump didn't include criminality. And yet there was an investigation. So here we go. Here's some collusion. We can see it right in front of our faces. So where's the investigation? But for Joe, there's another standard. Separate standard. Oh, well, if we can't find any criminal activity, well, we haven't looked yet, sir.
To serve on the board of a Ukrainian energy company facing serious corruption charges, you were the vice president running point on Ukraine. The average Joe hears that and says, that sounds fishy. What's your understanding of what your son was doing for an extraordinary amount of money?
I don't know what he was doing. I know he was on the board. I found out he was on the board after he was on the board. And that was it. And there's nobody.
Well, you've had a lot of time. Isn't this something you want to get to the bottom of?
No, because I trust my son.
But that doesn't pass the smell test. Like when you're vice president, isn't there a higher standard? Don't you need to know what's happening with your family? Don't you need to put down some guardrails?
Unless there was something that was, there was something on its face that was wrong. There's nothing on its face that was wrong. So look, if you want to talk about problems, you know, let's talk about Trump's family. I mean, come on. This is, these guys are amazing.
So he has no idea what Hunter did, he says in the same breath that he says it wasn't criminal. Again, so what? It's clearly collusion. More collusion than they've ever found on Trump. And collusion was enough for Crossfire Hurricane and the Mueller investigation. So where's the investigation of the Biden's clear collusion with Russia? Donald Trump Jr. tweeted about this. Do you remember when Trump Jr. was being hauled before Congress and accused of all kinds of Russian weirdness because he once spoke to a woman who was Russian, like for 15 minutes before he walked off? Remember, we had all those hearings. They were going to get to the bottom of it. Well, now we got payment from an associate of Vladimir Putin, $3.5 million, to Hunter Biden, who, by the way, was not qualified to be receiving those payments for anything. He was a guy with a drug addiction problem who'd been booted out of the military. Didn't have any meaningful employment of any kind. And he's cashing $3.5 million checks from associates of Vladimir Putin, and no one cares. Folks, this is stunning. Donald Trump Jr. nailed this, and we'll wrap the podcast with this. When he tweeted, when they thought they had me for something much less significant than direct payment from an associate of Vladimir Putin and direct links to human trafficking and prostitution in Russia, remember, because Hunter sent the money back to those prostitution human trafficking rings, I was front page news for weeks on end, Don Trump Jr. tweets, but the Bidens get a pass for their corruption, as always. Yeah, he's right. He continues, and she's a known associate of Vladimir Putin. I wish the media would hold Hunter to the same standard they tried to hold me to. If I did what Hunter did, I'd be in jail now. And that's not the way the activist leftist media plays the games for Dems. I know. And a country cannot stand this way. We cannot function this way if justice is not available to all. So as innocent law enforcement officers are shot in the streets, Molotov cocktails hurled at them, treated in the worst ways possible, the most thuggish, dangerous law enforcement agency in the country operates with almost complete immunity from laws, from consequences, from protests. Look at the irony of that. Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Please subscribe and share with like-minded family and friends. And of course, on social media. Thanks for listening.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.